I'm Rachel Otwell for NPR Illinois. In a world where fake news is a term known by just about anyone paying attention to current events, journalism's importance and history is increasingly being questioned. For his book released this year by the University of Illinois Press, Fred Carroll takes a look at Black journalists and the fight for racial justice in the 20th century. That's the subtitle for his text, Race News, which includes accounts of people and papers in Illinois, like the Chicago Defender. Here's the interview.
In Race News, I explore the political and professional evolution of Black journalism in the 20th century. And I do this by tracing the relationships at the commercial Black press, that would be your mainstream Black newspapers, such as the Chicago Defender, the Pittsburgh Courier, the Baltimore Afro-American, the relationships that these types of newspapers have with a repressive federal government that is looking to either silence or marginalize the news that is coming from these journalists, a hostile white media that wants to deny them the credentials of professionalism, and then in particular, their sort of contentious relationship with an alternative Black press, right? And the alternative Black press would be in the 1920s, newspapers like Marcus Garvey's The Negro World, which has a Black nationalist outlook, and A. Philip Randolph's The Messenger, which is has a socialist publication. And then in the 1960s would be your Black Power publications, which would include the Nation of Islam's Muhammad Speaks and the Black Panther Party's The Black Panther. And the reason why I'm tracing these narratives, particularly with the alternative Black press, is to try to get a better sense of how the template for news writing shifts over time. And I think that that's important, because what happens is these newspapers are establishing the parameters of what's considered acceptable political discourse for Black America, and at some times in the mid-20th century, it is wider, and at other times, it is narrower.
Yeah, I think even as journalists, sometimes we think of the industry as something that's been placid, or it's always been objective, and we have a clear understanding of what that means. Well, of course, editorial boards exist, and editors might have opinions that skew conservative. If for instance, we're talking about modern day Chicago. But if you can talk about some of these divergent views that these papers were including, if you can talk a little bit more specifically, perhaps about the Chicago Defender.
Okay. So what begins to happen really right around the time of World War I and then going into World War II, what you start to see, particularly amongst the national newspapers, such as the Chicago Defender, you see them starting to appropriate the ideas that are kind of percolating in this alternative Black press. And so out of the New Negro Movement, you sort of see them have a greater sort of racial militancy, a stronger denunciation of racism and segregation start to appear. Out of the Harlem Renaissance, you've sort of more of a modernist sensibility that's saying, you know, it's okay to have scandal splashed across the front page, that it's okay for African Americans to talk amongst themselves about the flaws in their community. And then you also start to see, particularly in the 1930s with the Great Depression, and the New Deal's failure to deliver on promised aid to African Americans, you see this, you see more and more journalists kind of picking up the idea that maybe communist or socialist, at least their racially egalitarian ideas, are pointing a way forward. They're not communist, but they are picking and choosing what are those from those ideologies what they like, right? And so what you see in the Chicago Defender, for example, is that by the 1940s, they've got an extremely progressive editorial op-ed page where they are essentially sort of reiterating the cultural front critiques, and by cultural front, I mean sort of the common man critiques of the American political economy, criticisms of the capitalist economy, criticisms of our two-party political system. You're seeing those on the editorial page. And so, for example, W.E.B. Du Bois in the 1930s leaves the NAACP and later begins to write for the Chicago Defender. And this is at a time where he's starting to have a greater appreciation for Marxism. George Padmore, a Pan-Africanist who lives in England, who has left the Communist Party, but still believes that people of color around the world have this connection because they're all being exploited by capitalism. And he's writing about these issues in the Chicago Defender. You have the Chicago Defender's foreign affairs columnist, who goes by has the pen name John Robert Badger, but is actually his real name is John Pittman, and he's the editor of the West Coast Communist Party newspaper. And so it's a way for the Defender to sort of articulate a forward-moving response to white supremacy at a time when the Republican Party is failing African Americans, the Democratic Party is failing African Americans, and during the Great Depression, they're suffering worse than any other group in America.
So the book covers the fact that a lot of these people came from philosophies that include anti-capitalism, anti-colonialism, and at times, black separatism. I was wondering if you could tell us also about somebody with an Illinois tie. Ethel Payne was born in Chicago in 1911, and she was a journalist and civil rights activist. She was known as the First Lady of the Black Press.
Okay. Well, Ethel Payne, right, is of this generation of journalists that is a sort of coming of age during World War II, when there's this intense pressure on black journalists to sort of tone down their more staunch criticisms of the United States, of segregation and discrimination. But they can't do that, really, without losing their readership. And so they're walking this narrow thread where they are pronouncing their patriotism, but also pronouncing their disgust with segregation and discrimination. And so Ethel Payne is coming of age in that, and then starts to work for the Defender in the 1950s. Well, she's going to have a new approach to these older writers who came of age in the 1930s and are responding to the Great Depression. And she is coming of an age professionally at a time in the 1950s when the anti-communism movement has caused newspaper publishers to rid themselves of known progressives. And the way that Ethel Payne approaches the news is to criticize, not so much to criticize communism, but criticize American segregationists for encouraging African Americans to look at communism, as well as other people of color around the world who begin to look to the Soviet Union as friends because of the discrimination that is present in America.